Let's get this party started.
This is Ghetto.
Broadcasting live from the studios of AM 570.
It's on a website.
This is FNA.
Man, get out my way and watch out as I come.
I am a god, now what?
Why don't you get out of that jumpsuit and let me smack that fat ass?
That's a scary crew.
As far as the product goes,
voice of a new generation, man. You guys are the young guys.
Are really at the top of their games.
The two of them had something in common.
We bring you Radio Ecstasy.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Broadcasting live from the studios of AM 570.
FNA.
Let it happen.
This is the FNA Podcast.
It is a Friday edition of the FNA Podcast. Kevin Figures, that's me. Adam Olson with you as well.
That's me!
Present!
Brian Oslin.
Here!
Hit us up on Twitter, at FNA Show, Instagram and Facebook, at FNA Show as well.
That would be you guys.
Yep.
FNAPodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
Click on that Amazon link.
That's right. The holidays are rolling around. I saw that if you're trying to get some holiday shopping in, you should do it earlier than later because of the whole mail situation.
Mm. Hurry up and buy.
Some issues. So they said if you want people to get their presents by Christmas, you're best ordering them no later than like the weekend of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I've been getting things late on Amazon Prime lately.
Yeah,
things that should arrive in 1 day or 2 days have taken weeks.
And they have their own mail service.
And I need my Tux medicated wipes for my ass. Okay?
You need your man wipes. What are those called? Dude wipes?
Oh, that's another brand?
Yes.
To try to make little baby wipes seem cool for bros.
That's what it is. They're called dude wipes.
But it is so nice on your ass.
For down there.
Kiss my ass, so what?
Yeah, whatever works for you.
It feels so much better.
Well,
once you go wet wipes, you never go back.
Well, whatever you wipe your ass with, I'm sure you can buy it from Amazon. So click on the Amazon banner on FNAPodcast.com before you purchase anything from Amazon. And you'll help out the show a little bit.
Coming up later in the show, we have rap news, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. You want to learn how to roll a blunt?
Yes.
Okay. Someone actually pay you to do it.
Never done it.
You want to get high?
I feel like they're less, you know, readily available nowadays because people buy the vape pens. There's so many other ways to get your weed than just rolling it up. An old school retro?
Some people like the old school traditional
hipster
method. I can tell you that there are many people who still do it that way.
Well, they like to put it. Some people still roll cigarettes too. They want to be their own Marlboro man.
Yeah, I guess so. So we have that, and then we have another versus battle discussion.
Oh, good.
So these are always fun.
Well,
who's
people,
in? Who's out? Who wants to compete? Who's bitching out? All that.
People's discographies and catalogs going up against each other in music.
Yep.
That's cool.
So we got those stories coming up in rap news.
But right now, it's the return of an old friend who has not been on this show in months. Because it's also the return of the Pac-12.
That's right. College football's back, bitches.
Phone's ringing, dude.
Thank you, Donnie.
Well, back on the show is a man who's been trying to stop the fraud committed by USC hype videos where they try to purport themselves as an elite football program for years, which makes him an elite analyst in my book, and we're lucky to have him booked for today's show. It's the old P. Petros Papadakis, whose wit is sharper than his knife, since it always sticks, unlike his knife in the PMS show door. P., how are you?
Hello, good morning. Nice to be with you guys.
It's been like 3 months.
College football's back. That's why you want to talk to me.
We'd have you on every show. We love you. It's always a rating spike. It is true. All right, P. Is USC going to be good enough, even in a shortened season, to keep the Pac-12 relevant nationally?
Probably not, but that doesn't mean they won't be serviceable. I mean, I expect them to be pretty good. They have good players. You know, I'm not a big fan of their scheme, and you know why. And I'm not a big fan of what they pay their head coach and how they go about the entire process of leadership through the presidency at the school and the AD. I think it's pretty clear to everybody. I don't know how many times they have to prove it to everybody. I think it was Maya Angelou that said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them the first time. But either way, they can always win games. They have a good quarterback who's really competitive. They have a lot of really good athletes and obviously really good perimeter players. And they have a perimeter scheme, and they'll win games and they'll lose games. But to answer your question, national relevancy beyond just USC drama – like the hype video or the guy applying for federal aid, I don't think you'll see that. I don't think you'll see any of it really from the Pac-12. But that being said, at least they're playing, and you're not going to get any better or put yourself in the conversation by not playing. So everybody but Cal and Washington, at least, is playing, and that's irking a lot of people, mostly the Cal football team. But seeing that they're going to take the field tomorrow is a positive thing, and I'm looking at it as that. You know, I've been calling games now from the monitor for a couple weeks and happy to be back in the Fox building and being able to work. And I'll tell you, I've never been so happy to see the San Jose State Spartan logo. You know, it's good to see West Coast football back, and I'm really, really impressed with the team I'm calling their game tonight, BYU. BYU obviously can do whatever they want. They have their own leadership, their own promotion department, their own recruiting base, their own everything. And they can play whoever they want, whenever they want. They played seven games already. And I love their coach. I've known him for many years since he was a fullback there at BYU for Sarkisian as quarterback. And I think there's great examples on the West Coast. Boise State, who I'm going to see tonight, is a really solid program. This is going to be their third game. So we're playing on the West Coast, and we're going to start with what are supposed to be our flagship programs this weekend, and I'm looking at it as a positive, though still rolling my eyes.
When it comes to USC, they made the change at defensive coordinator from Clancy Pendergast to Todd Orlando, and they're talking about all these defensive diversity and how much better the defense is going to be. Last time I checked, Texas's defense hadn't been that great the last 15 years. What improvements, or if any, do you think the USC defense will make this year under new defensive coordinator Todd Orlando?
Well, I know Todd a little bit from when he was at Texas, and what happened to Todd at Texas last year. I mean, they lost 8 defensive starters, and somebody had to walk the plank, and it was him. Now, do I think that he's dramatically better than what they had? No, I don't. I'm probably a little bit better of a college coach and a lot more energy when it comes to recruiting than Clancy, but I think USC has proven over and over again that whatever they're telling you they're going to be in the offseason, like we're going to be physical, we're going to be disciplined, we're going to be great, usually that's not the case. You have to actually practice those things and be those things. And USC is not really that. You know, they have a tight end a little bit, and they run the ball a little bit more, and they run an air raid, but their splits aren't gross, you know, like 2.5 yards or something stupid like that. So they have some ability out of it, but it's certainly not an offense that takes any physicality out of the opponent. And it's not an offense that's really, really adroit at staying on the field. And that makes it really hard, whether you're Todd Orlando or anybody, Brett Venables, to coordinate defense around. So it's a tall order. No matter who you are. And he's not a bad coach, but he's not a savior either. And I just don't really believe anything that USC tries to speak into existence through Twitter in the offseason. We'll have to, you know, they're going to have to play a very physical football team in Arizona. I know that's such an overused word. But defensively, Arizona State has Herm Edwards, who's a defensive guy from the West Coast and a hard ass, obviously. Marvin Lewis, who knows what he's doing on that side of the ball, for God's sakes, was a great coordinator for the Ravens before he was the head coach of the Bengals for years. And guys like Vontaze Burfict getting after people's ass, and that's what Marvin Lewis likes. And then you have Antonio Pierce, who is a more energetic coach, who does a lot of great recruiting for those guys at Arizona State, specifically in the Long Beach and Los Angeles area. So, and they have just as experienced of a quarterback, and you can argue just as accomplished as Keaton Slovis in Jaden Daniels out of San Bernardino. So you tell me what's going to happen. You know, it's going to be a 9 a.m. kick. USC is going to have to prove it right away. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Pete, if, you know, with the season playing out the way it is, a seven-game schedule, a lot of the pundits, national pundits, have USC pegged as the favorites to come out of the Pac-12. It doesn't seem as if you agree with those notions. I guess a two-part question. Question one is, if not them, it could be them. But if not them, who do you believe has the best shot to win the Pac-12? And then number two, if USC does struggle this season, and I guess struggling could be 2-5, I don't know, does Clay Helton get a mulligan this year because of everything that's happened, or is that held against him when reevaluating the football program in the offseason for Mike Bone?
Nah, it's going to be hard to fire anybody,
yeah,
you know, this year. But if it could happen to anybody, it probably should happen to Clay Helton. I mean, he probably, and a lot of people feel like it should have happened last year, the year before, the year. I mean, it's gone on for quite some time here. So I think if they go out and really embarrass themselves, you might see something like that. I don't know if they're going to win the Pac-12. I don't think so, because I don't think they're consistent. I don't think they run a consistent scheme, but they obviously have consistent talent. So that always leaves the possibility out there. They're going to be the most talented team against every team they play, and they should be favored to win every game they play. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, obviously. But if not them, who? The team they're playing on Saturday. I just explained that, I thought. And then
some people like Washington, some people like Oregon.
Well, Washington is not going to play, and they have a brand new coach and a brand new quarterback. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, and what about the team Washington's playing?
Right.
You know, they have an established system and a quarterback who's very good in Gabbert, and they're sitting right there and they're not able to play. So, and then you have, I don't think you'll have, I mean, Oregon, which is what everybody else, you know, up north where I do a lot of interviews, thinks that their bread's going to be buttered. But they're going to have a new quarterback, too, and have to prove something. But they are going to be really physical, and they're going to win games. So I think you're looking at Oregon, Utah, or Arizona State and USC. And, look, we expect UCLA to make a big jump. I mean, they'd better. In year three under Chip Kelly, nobody's talking about him, but that might be a story that starts to develop through the year. But honestly, without fans in the stands and with all the different variables of after having done games for like 3 weeks here and seeing, wow, this, you've always got uncertainty in college football, and this kid is out, this kid is getting disciplined, or they're not telling you this, or somebody tells you with a wink. I mean, there's a lot more to decipher in college than in a pro football game about what's actually happening. And then you have the coronavirus element, which adds this whole extra element to this year, to where you might not have three or four guys in a position group that you're prepared to talk about in that game because something happened hours before kickoff, and all of a sudden there's a bunch of dudes out there running around, and you're trying to identify them with a magnifying glass on a roster while on national TV trying to play it off like you know what you're talking about. So, you know, that's a big element to this year, which really makes it hard to answer these questions.
Right.
Also, you know, who's going to be a self-starter? Who's going to be able to play in front of people with energy at home? Who's going to be able to get some lead in their pencil when there's nobody in the stands at the Coliseum and it feels like a scrimmage and you can hear the other coach mother-effing you on the other sideline? That kind of stuff is all up in the air for a lot of people because we haven't really started yet in the Pac-12. So, I mean, if I had to say, I'd say Arizona State, or Utah, and maybe Oregon, those three.
Yeah, but you know, with the Big 12 kind of eating itself alive a little bit here, some people think that the Pac-12 can sneak into the college football playoff. Do you think that's possible? Even if, let's say USC or let's say ASU goes 7-0 and wins the Pac-12 title game, because they're thought of as kind of, for lack of a better term, the weakest of the Power 5 conferences the Pac-12 is viewed as, do you think that even with an undefeated champion, they could get passed over by even a one-loss Big 12 team because they played more games?
What about a one-loss Notre Dame?
Sure.
What about BYU is good.
Yes.
And they've played seven games.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a Heisman candidate quarterback. So, I mean, you tell me. I mean, we've been watching football for 2 months.
Right.
And these guys are going to play tomorrow. So, no. But, I mean, anything's possible. You know, I mean, if Keaton Slovis goes out and throws for 400 yards a game, the eyes, and they win every game, the eyes of the East Coast are going to open. USC moves the needle. If Oregon gets going and beats the crap out of everybody, they're going to have a push because ESPN and Nike and Oregon are all in bed. I'm not saying it as a bad thing, but, I mean, what kind of media story are we going to get out of the West? Is it going to be like a new toy that everybody's interested in and then throws away right away? I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't even – I mean, looking at the regulations at Cal, it's hard to believe that they'll be able to play one game because it's such BS. So it's a really hard question to answer at this point, but it's an uphill battle for national relevancy, which it seems like you guys are really obsessed with. But it's not a bad thing to play the freaking games. I mean – we have to do what we – it's a weird year. It might be a wash of a year in some people's minds. But in my mind, it's our job to, first of all, to make money and do this. Second of all, these guys have to play. They've been promised the showcasing. You cannot replay a year in mass quantities in football or restart a whole team's life. It is not – conducive to what we've promised these guys to have them not playing, especially when other people are playing. They have to be able to showcase themselves to move on to the next level or showcase themselves to finish their career and move on with their lives. And you got to do that, whether the college football playoff recognizes it at the end of the year. Frankly, I don't freaking care. And they probably shouldn't and won't. Because a lot of other people have been going above and beyond and making it happen for months. And I don't think, really, if I had a say in it, I really wouldn't honor how long the Pac-12 dragged their feet in this situation. But I'm not in charge, and I don't know how it's going to play out with everybody.
P, quickly, because you brought up Notre Dame, how do you think they fare against a Trevor Lawrence-less Clemson team this weekend?
Well, I think that it's going to be a hell of a game. You know, there's a lot of hype involved. There's a lot of eyeballs involved. It's great that there's a game that the country is talking about after such a weird week and weird year. And obviously we have a vested interest here in Southern California because of DJ Uiagalelei. We like that player. I like his family. And he's every bit as talented and as much of a pro prospect as Trevor Lawrence, right? On paper, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen a huge body of work, but we saw what he was able to do when he settled in against Boston College. And I think it's going to be great no matter what. I would imagine that Clemson's going to beat them with or without Trevor Lawrence. And I think DJ will play well, but I think it will be a good game at least for a while. And we can enjoy that. Is it at Death Valley?
Good question.
You guys don't know that? Well, I guess I should know. I mean, I have two games this week. You know, I'm kind of busy.
It is. It's at South Bend.
Yeah.
Oh, it's at South Bend?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Well, it'll be. I thought it would be close in the third quarter if it was in Death Valley. Now it'll be close in the fourth quarter. But I still expect Clemson to win.
All right. He is the great Petros Papadakis. Oh yeah, and also Travis Etienne. I also love DJ's father. What he said this week in an interview that he said, "I'm not LeVar Ball. I'm just proud of my son and wish him well." So you got another fan in my book when it comes to that.
Our shoes aren't gonna suck.
Check out the OP tonight at 6:45 on FS1. Boise State taking on one of the Heisman frontrunners, I guess you could say right now, Zach Wilson and BYU. And of course, always check out the Petros and Money Show on AM570 LA Sports and the iHeartRadio app. P, thanks so much for joining us today. We know you're very busy, especially today of all days. Thanks, brother.
Chopping wood.
Uh-huh.
Have a good one. All right, it's a little bit of MTV News Brief.
Tell us stuff at the news high.
Oh, by the group Dub Shack. Touts the virtues of a machine that automatically smacks a wife or girlfriend into line.
A generation raised on beef.
I mean, even though we were going through our drama, I would never wish death on nobody, you know what I'm saying? Because ain't no coming back from that.
Who shot you?
This is an artist called Eminem. It's spelled funky.
My face is pale, but you look like you've seen it go.
I'll go to prison just for
what?
Because he's a white guy.
Bill O'Reilly. Chris Brown is accused of assault and battery.
I love all the rappers today, but it's hard to defend this shit.
So we know times are hard, Adam. And people are trying to make an extra buck or two, however they can. A big win for Uber and Lyft drivers and Postmate drivers and all those types here in the state of California over the election cycle. So they are able to remain independent contractors. But maybe you need an extra $100 in your pocket every month.
Well, you'll see me on the corner.
Hopefully not. But, you know, you can earn an honest buck by helping out G Herbo. You ask who is G Herbo.
So do I.
No, I've heard of him, but I'd be lying to you if I told you I knew any of his songs. I don't. But I know he's a popular. He's from Chicago.
Okay.
He's a young popular rapper, but I very, very honestly do not know anything about him.
Well, there's a lot of popular rappers from Chicago that are probably upstaging him.
Could be, but I feel like he has a lot of clout.
It's not his time yet.
I feel like he has a lot of clout to a certain degree. So just because he's not on my radar, trust me, I guess he's a big deal.
What's his name again, G-Uber?
G-Herbo. G Herbo. Not G Uber.
Who's got the Herbo?
He says he's willing to give anyone who's willing to roll his blunts for him $100 a day.
You want to get high?
He made a PSA on his Instagram page, showed you exactly how he likes his blunts rolled.
That's important.
And he said, quote, who's willing to make $36,000 a year? I'm ready to pay a mother effer $100 a day to roll up. That's all you getting, though. That's all I got is $100 because I'm letting you smoke, definitely. You smoke free def, and you hanging around.
He was smoking too much marijuana.
Is weed legal in Chicago?
I don't believe so. I mean, 25 a lot of states places now legalized it this past week, yeah. So I don't know if Chicago is in there or the state of Illinois is in there.
Half the country.
You know, I do know what Oregon legalized. Everything.
Everything else?
Pretty much everything.
Crack addict.
And whatever you like. Whatever your vice.
You could have whatever you like.
Oregon got you. Oregon
you
got
can
you.
Have all the heroin.
So Adam, if you want $100 a day, an extra $100 a day, just learn how to roll blunts.
How often is he smoking, though? $100 a day sounds nice. But if you're working 16 hours a day to make sure his head is filled...
You want to get high?
That may be a little bit more labor intensive than you realize.
It could be, but look, you can spin off your own business. You can be your own personal blunt roller. Does anybody need a blunt roller? I got you.
Yeah.
And then just raise your rate as you move on up the chain.
Lick it, stick the two ends. I don't
Sounds
know.
Sounds like you have experience.
No. I mean, do we still do that nowadays? Is that like
yes.
licking an envelope? Is that just unsanitary to lick a blunt like that during a pandemic?
We are asking potheads who very readily smoke weed and pass a blunt to a person they met 3 seconds ago, and you're asking me if they still lick it and if it's sanitary.
Passes it to the man?
I don't think they give a damn.
Puff, pass.
If it's getting them where they're trying to get to, they'll be okay.
I'm just trying to figure out who this guy is. He's got a song called PTSD, Riding With It.
You literally can give me. You can name every song in his catalog, and I could not tell you that I've heard of one of them.
Friends?
No.
And foes.
Okay. both sides of the ledger. Someone I have heard of is Busta Rhymes. He smoked some weed in his day.
Mm-hmm. Hey, yo, Busta.
And he did an interview with Complex talking about a versus battle and whether or not he'd want to do a versus battle. Now, apparently, and I was not aware of this, we've talked about T.I. on the show. And that T.I. has tried to have a couple of people do versus battles, and he says people are scared of him. They don't want to see him.
Didn't he come at Jay-Z's neck?
He did. And Jay-Z, again, I said Jay-Z's too big. He don't want to do that.
He was feeling like a pimp, yeah. And he brushed his shoulders off and brushed T.I. off.
Apparently, there was a deal in place, or at least a back and forth, between T.I. and Busta Rhymes about doing a versus. And from what I understand, T.I. turned it down.
I can't get jiggy with this.
That's interesting. Where's Busta Rhymes from?
That's why it's New York.
Okay. New York versus ATL.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why T.I. would turn that down. Does he think it's beneath him to go up against Busta Rhymes?
No, he thinks he would lose. Oh. I know exactly why T.I. wouldn't go up against Busta Rhymes. And even though T.I. might have bigger radio hits or whatnot, if you're in the know about rap, which are most of the people that tune into these versus battles, and if you're grading it, by the way, I don't think there's not an actual system. Scoring system. This isn't like American Idol where you text or tweet in.
I think the winner is Spotify.
Your votes.
You
know,
win.
That's
Spotify,
it.
I don't think Spotify, does Spotify stream them? I know it's a thing that Swizz Beatz set it up. I think they stream it on Instagram Live. I don't think Instagram makes any money off of it, but I have no idea.
But you hear all these songs, then you go to your own streaming service and kind of reconnect with the artists afterwards.
Yeah,
at least
yeah, kind of,
I do.
It makes you, I guess you could say it puts you back into the forefront if you've fallen out of it.
Renewed interest.
Well, so if you're Busta Rhymes, he says he'll take on all comers. He says
that sounds about right.
He named Eminem specifically. He named Lil Wayne specifically. He named Jay-Z, which again, we both said is not going to happen. And I don't think Eminem would do it either.
That's just
but
a buffet of rappers.
I
there
do
for
think
Busta.
Eminem. Now, catalog for catalog, Busta can hang with Eminem. But if we're just talking about how they can, as far as like rap potential and rap talent,
yeah,
it's pretty good. That's pretty close.
Busta Rhymes is a very talented rapper. He's obviously more talented at spitting than T.I.
Yes.
But T.I. does have a lot of hits.
Right. And so that's the problem is the gauge. What are you gauging your versus battle on? Is it just like, oh, you really spit on that track, but only like 100,000 people have ever heard it?
Yeah.
Or is it like, oh, this is a platinum, you mentioned whatever you like a second ago. Everybody and their mama has heard this song before. You know,
when people hear versus battle, I think they believe it's a rap battle.
It is not a rap battle. No, because and it's not rap, by the way. I mean, Patti LaBelle did it. Like, there's been a bunch of, I think, Jill Scott did it. Like,
Dave Matthews Band took on Fish.
I missed that one.
No, I'm kidding.
But they could. I missed that one. Even, like, producers, you know, Teddy Riley and Babyface did it, you know. So, and all the tracks they produce. So, it doesn't even have their voice. Well, some of them had their voices on it. So, it's not exclusive to rap. But yeah, when you think of a versus and you hear the word battle, you automatically assume that these guys are spitting. And if that was the case, I would take Busta Rhymes versus a lot of these cats.
You have a much better chance.
But actual hits.
Especially since he's thin again.
Yeah, yes, he's swole.
We heard about that in rap news.
Yeah, you saw the picture. He has the six pack on top of the, I don't want to call it like beer gut, but.
That's what we're so pumped for.
Let's just say he's thinner, but he's not necessarily 2% body fat either.
Yeah, it's
which
not
is fine.
A kegger he's
no.
got in there.
No.
It's a tall can now.
It looks a lot better than it did before, because before it looked like he was pregnant.
And the 24-ounce Natty Light tall can.
Yes.
I do know about that life.
So Busta Rhymes will take on all comers. I personally would love to see it.
Who do you think he'd take on first? Who do you think would accept his challenge
first? Who would
first?
Accept it?
Yeah, out of these people.
One shall stand,
well,
one shall fall.
Out of the people that he named, who would accept first would be Lil Wayne, followed by Eminem, followed by Jay-Z. Would any of them
is
do
Busta
it?
Is Busta Rhymes a Biden guy? Lil Wayne will take him on.
I don't know. I don't think that would matter one way or the other. But as far as who would be more willing to do it, I think Lil Wayne would be more willing than Eminem or Jay-Z.
Does he have anything to promote right now? Because that always helps in these versus battles.
It's you funny know. You ask.
Oh?
Because Busta Rhymes has an album coming out. Well, we talked about this. When we mentioned Busta Rhymes, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? That he released his photo on Instagram because he's promoting his next album.
What about Lil Tunchi? Does he have something?
He just released a track last week, but I don't think he has an album in the works. So.
It's probably still under litigation with Young Money.
I think his last album was done. That was his last one for them.
Okay.
He's too busy on the campaign trail, maybe, or was on the campaign trail, resting up, counting votes.
People didn't like that.
949-478-1197 is the number to call and leave us a voicemail, whatever is on your mind.
I say think for yourself.
You can call us a dumbass, and which Peter
I'm
did.
I'm a dumbass.
Peter did earlier this week. You can call us whatever you want.
Peter.
Peter went after us.
Hit us up. Lit us up.
Yeah, big time.
Do we have more than one voicemail?
We have three voicemails to get to.
Okay, maybe there's some reaction to what Peter said.
What's up, guys? Back in the States, so quality should be good.
Andre.
With basically no sports every day, I gotta wait. And my Eagles on a bye, and no NBA basketball, which be coming around right now. I'm back to basically binging television. And I remember you guys, I think Kevin really likes Smallville. I never seen it before. I heard of it. So I went to go check it out. I'm in season 7. And I don't know, the format of soap opera superheroes is pretty weird. But Kevin, if you remember anything about it, what do you think about the whole, talking about another show, the Lana dating Clark Kent, basically, and then dumping him and dating his ex-boyfriend. I'm like, I tweeted that out. I said, you know, that's not she did not come off well, like when you watch a show and shit. So what do you guys think about that? Take care.
That was Andre 3000, ways to hit on FNA.
And I saw Andre on Twitter going back and forth talking about Smallville and talking about how much Lana shouldn't be like breaking up with. Look, first of all, there's a code, generally speaking. You don't date your boy's ex unless you have his full support and approval, which that almost rarely happens.
Wait, this was some lesbian action? Weird dynamic.
There was no lesbians.
Oh.
Now, if I'm trying to remember.
Who's she dating?
I'm trying to remember correctly. She was dating Clark. And they, first of all, it was nebulous at the very beginning whether they were actually dating or they're not.
Is this the Kristen Kirk high school character?
Christian Kirk?
Kristen Kirk?
Oh, Kristen Kirk. Yes, that's her name. She played Lana Lang.
Kirk? Okay. She's super hot.
She played Lana Lang in the series before Lois Lane eventually came into the series, maybe by like season 5 or something.
Oh.
Because they started like
sister of Lois?
They started in high school. They're not related in any way, shape, or form.
What the hell? What? That's confusing.
Lois Lane and Lana Lang.
Oh, Lang. Can you see how I could mix that up?
Yeah. If someone says it really fast, I can understand that. I'm trying to remember. I thought maybe she was dating Lex. And then she started dating Clark.
Once Lex shaved his head, it was like, yeah.
Lex was bald from the very beginning.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember. I don't fully... It's been years since I've watched this, Andre. This was like back when I was in like late high school, early college, when this series was on the WB, right? Or yeah, the WB with the frog, or CW when they rebranded because they found out the frog was racist.
I was busy watching Dawson's Creek and Felicity.
Rightfully so. I'm about to say that makes sense, but it probably doesn't make sense.
And Jack and Jill.
But it was not a good look, and I don't think she was painted negatively or Clark was mad. Well, of course Clark wouldn't be mad. He's Superman. He sees the good in everybody. So, just off general principle, not a good look when your girl leaves you and goes dating your boy.
He didn't try to turn the world backwards so he could go back to dating her.
Now, unless y'all had a falling out, which obviously Clark and Lex did. Clark and Lex, by the way, in the series were like best friends at the very beginning, and then it very incrementally got worse and worse and worse. So if you had a falling out, and maybe if you're one of these people that thinks this way and you want to get back at your friend by taking his girl, I mean, that might work for you.
That was a very popular show. He talked about he was in season 7. How many were there?
I thought there was only like 6 or 7. You know, I jumped in late, by the way. I had to go back and watch season like 1, 2, and 3.
Better find those DVDs.
Yeah, so I had to go back and watch those.
There's 217 episodes total.
It's over 9,000!
10 seasons, I guess.
Got some binging to do there, Adam.
I'm a Marvel guy. But not the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff that's on TV or anything like that. Smallville was very innovative in that way. It was one of the first comic book shows to be brought back on television at
and
that
now
time.
There's many of them.
Yeah.
You know.
Now you got Arrow
mm-hmm.
and The Flash.
Supergirl.
Yeah. Superwoman.
Is there a Supergirl and a Superwoman?
I don't know. There's a Bat. There's a Catwoman, right?
Yeah, then there was
Ruby
like
Rose. They changed the actress for her.
But then there was a Batman, but Batman isn't in it. Was it just called Gotham or something?
Gotham, which is like a major prequel.
Is that just supposed to be Commissioner Gordon or something?
Maybe a young Bruce Wayne is in there.
I haven't seen it.
I think they're supposed to tell the origin story of the Joker. Or so he was a copycat of some other murderer psychopath in the 60s. I don't know.
That would make sense.
I haven't seen much.
Next call.
All right, the reason I'm calling twice is I was double dipping, and I didn't want to have one long voicemail so you guys wouldn't cut me off because this last phone call is kind of an advice thing. Basically, quick thing. I'm in a group chat, a bunch of friends from where I used to live. We're still close, we're very close. But this week was election week, and you can tell where this is going. One of my friends found out that one of them voted for Trump. And the friend that voted for Trump getting married this weekend, and that other friend, he read the reasons of why he voted for him, and he basically said, fuck you, bro, you're selfish, fuck that bullshit about you're not being racist. You may not be racist, but you are complicit. And you know what? Fuck your wedding, basically. I ain't going to that shit. And we're all caught in the middle of it. We don't know what – I'm still going. But I see where my friend is coming from. I didn't have the balls to say that shit. I just read it. Like, oh, okay, I'm not going to respond or anything. I'm just going to be whatever about it. But it is going to be awkward. I love the guy. He's been really good to me. He's given me cash back in our college days when I needed it.
And cut that bitch off!
Now that he's making money.
Next caller!
So... You love the guy, but you're going to change your opinion on him based upon who he votes for. I can't stand this stuff. I've seen a lot of this recently on Facebook. People are like, if you voted for Biden, just unfollow me because we have nothing in common, even though we've known each other for 20 years. You're going to wreck relationships over this. I don't understand that. You're letting politics rule you a little bit too much.
Yeah. For some people, they feel like what someone stands for, whether explicitly or not, they think like, again, it's just all like, well, you're associating with them as guilt by association, and this is what so-and-so stands for, and this person's a racist, and this person is.
It's so much more nuanced.
If you talk to the actual person and actually have a discussion with them, maybe reach an understanding as to why they've come to the decision they've come to, as opposed to just lumping them into a box and throwing them in with a bunch of other people. One person's reason for voting for someone could be completely different for another person's reason for voting for someone.
Yeah.
So I would ask people to have a real solid discussion, especially with people you've been close to, as to their reasoning behind it. And look, if it's really that bad of an issue after you had a discussion, maybe I'd understand more. But to just make a knee-jerk reaction based off of something as simple as a vote, and I'm not saying it's not important, but it is simple, saying, I voted for X, and say, well, you voted for them, I can't talk to you anymore. That seems very narrow-minded to me.
Yeah, to me, I'd prioritize my relationships and our history over who they're voting for the next president of the United States more. And this is why people say, don't talk politics, don't talk religion. And I understand as you get older, sometimes those issues arise more often, and things have been so divisive and divided in this country. But if you've known a guy for that long, he lets you borrow money in college, you love the guy, don't let this become a wedge between you.
Tom, next caller.
Hey, fellas. It's Blackie Bingham. I haven't talked to you guys in a while.
Whoa.
But I just got done listening to your last show, and I just heard your guys' response to Peter and Boulder's call about where he's calling you guys out for how you're talking about the whole analytics thing. And, man, you guys just sounded like a couple of your drunk-ass friends who are arguing, and they're discussing subject matter that's, you know, a little bit over their heads. And I'm going to sound like an asshole now, but I'm a mathematics guy. I got a BS in mathematics and a minor in economics, so I understand statistics, independent random variables, dependent variables, moment generating functions, all of that stuff. And man, and it's not only you guys, it's a lot of people in the sports media, when they start talking about analytics, to me, they sound, you know, it's akin to listening to someone scratch a chalkboard. And of course, you know, it's not only you guys. So yeah, I was kind of on board with Peter when you don't know shit. And I've at least know enough math and statistics to realize that I don't know shit. And it would behoove you guys in the sports media to also realize that when you guys discuss these matters and not sound like a bunch of jackasses. But other than that, you know, love you guys' show. I still listen to you guys, so have a great weekend, bitches.
Thank you, Blackie.
It's arithmetic.
And we do know that you listen all the time because you tweet us all the time. I'll say this, too. If we cannot give our opinions on the moves that some of these people make, when many of them are heavily weighted on analytics, we basically can't criticize
anything.
Them at all. That means they have blanket immunity to any sort of criticism whatsoever. And in the sports world, and specifically in our world, you can't do that. You cannot explain away every single solitary move that you make. And when something goes bad, say like, well, I don't know the numbers, so I can't criticize them. No, that doesn't work that way.
If we can't talk about anything because we don't have the same numbers that they do, first of all, we acknowledge that.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been self-evident that obviously we don't have those numbers.
That goes unsaid.
I'm going off of the same numbers that we do have.
Right.
And those are limited, and they're not as advanced as the analytics they have, of course.
But
and I've always been a proponent of analytics and have backed front offices and have thought this was the wave of the future. 15 years ago, I was looking at stuff like this on 82games.com, which was a really interesting basketball website that gave you a lot of crunch time numbers and things you couldn't find anywhere else. But because we don't know what they do, doesn't mean we're going to stop criticizing them.
Yeah. It's like, you know, look, I am not as gung-ho on the analytics, but I don't totally poo-poo. And I think it definitely has its place along with the old-time instinctual, whether it's baseball, basketball, whatever it is. I mentioned this either last show or two shows ago. If you're someone that eschews analytics in pro sports, you're not going to be around much longer. Mm-hmm. You're just not.
You're a dinosaur.
The sport has passed you by.
You're aging out.
In that sense.
Unless you're Tony La Russa and you can come back at 75.
I have to believe that even a certain part of him recognizes what it is, you know, and recognizes he needs some help from that standpoint.
Evolve or die. You have to adapt, and the numbers are helpful if you know how to apply them.
And look, we can make our criticisms or our opinions based off of the decisions they make, because more often than not, the decisions they make are consistent with the numbers that they're reading. So that's why people can crunch the much more bigger numbers, not the granular ones, like, say, I'll use the Rays as an example since they're the chief one right now. The granular things, yeah, they know. In the larger scope, we know, generally speaking, they don't let their starters go three times through the lineup. Generally know.
Yeah.
We generally know that number.
And I'll say it was my fault that I misrepresented what Kevin Cash said. I didn't hear that part initially.
Oh, about the three times through the
order.
That he
was talking about. Because he did equivocate a little bit.
Yeah,
at first he said no, and then he said that. It was strange.
There's a lot of back and forth.
Yes, he was all over the place. He was not very clear.
So we can only base our opinions based off of your tendencies, and if your tendencies happen to go in line with your company line of going with certain analytical data, which we assume it is, because otherwise, why else would you 85% of the time take your starter out three times through or other moves that you would make? Why can we not base our opinions based off of that? We're basing it off of what we do know.
Yeah.
And I don't think that makes us wrong to be able to do that.
And just because they have a ton more numbers doesn't mean they're sorting through and finding the right ones that are most applicable in that moment to give them the best advantage to win.
Right. It could be. It's the old paralysis by overanalysis certain times, sometimes too. Too much analytics can come back and bite you too. You know what I mean? You could be stressing over the things that, I won't say they don't matter, but don't matter as much in the larger scheme.
Look at that gif with Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, right.
Can you count, suckers?
We're not trying to act like we should be front office guys because of this.
Absolutely not. You don't want that, trust me. Not me. That's for damn sure.
But I feel like, if anything, I mean, we've defended people who have been in these positions.
Yes. We criticized the Lakers and Mitch Kupchak for not having analytic departments.
My point was,
people for having them.
I didn't feel like they were using them. The information from Kevin Cash saying that he was going third time through the lineup and taking out Blake Snell because of that, that changes my argument. Obviously, it has to.
Yeah, and again, I still contend that he was conflicted, and he just went back to his default, which is to fall back on the numbers.
And maybe it was, you could say, the habit of going to the analytics so often when someone's going three times through the lineup was the paralysis by analysis.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fact that he couldn't help but refer back to the numbers in a time of need.
It takes you, and it takes you away from feeling the moment at the time and getting a feel for the game as it was playing itself out.
Yeah.
So, but we appreciate it, Blackie. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Congratulations on your mathing.
It's arithmetic. Kick my ass when it comes to that. That's for damn sure. And thank Andre too for calling. Both of your calls.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Listen to the Tom Brady stuff I come up with to undercut his entire career. I love analytics. If we had them available to us from the Rays, we would have used them.
Absolutely.
I just don't know what analytics outweigh the recency of what was happening with Nick Anderson.
Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement on that. 100% agreement. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
I'd love to see it.
I would too. 949-478-1197 if you would like to call and leave us a voicemail as well. You can do that, obviously.
Actually, he made good pitches. They just were hitting them.
Yes.
For a month? For a month long that was happening? Oh, no, his arm angle is almost back to where it should be, and the next outing from him was going to result
whatever
in
you
the
say.
Release point that you want from him. What?
It's like, is he effective or is he not? Get his ass out of the game. Hit us up on Twitter, too. Of course, if you're a Dodger fan, you're fine with it. Take it. Sigh of relief. At KFig1 is where you can find me on Twitter. Adam is at follow Adam A. We are at FNA Show, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Can we put a lid on this conversation? Have we talked about it enough? Can we at least wait till next year?
A Houston Astros logo-clad trash can lid on top?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
That lid, I was thinking of Biden lids on the week, but trying to relate it to what's happening in politics right now. But
third rail, my man.
Yeah.
Trying to relate it back to baseball.
I'm out.
We are out. Thank you guys for your support, as always. We appreciate it. We're back next week with another edition of the FNA Podcast. Have a good weekend.
You don't know shit.